It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brad Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11 yards, touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show. Out of my brain.
Taking you home on a Tuesday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I think my voice just cracked, but I don't know because I can't hear myself in this studio. Hey, we're glad to have you along. Our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions? Glad you've been patient, waited out the day for your local sports fix. Coming up on the show, we've got you covered with Colts, Bears, IU, Mastodons, Tin Caps Baseball. It's all coming up in the next 2 hours, including our friend from Indianapolis, co-host of the morning show at 93.5, 107.5, The Fan down in Indy. It is Kevin Bowen that will join us at 5:20 this afternoon. Adam, it is a bit gray outside, and just a tad bit of rain has fallen today. But at this point, no word yet on the Tin Caps, but we will let you know. They're scheduled to open up a series against the Great Lakes Loons, and probably appropriate that they would be playing Great Lakes and a team known as the Loons.
Yeah, an aquatic
an aquatic fowl. That's very good language, Adam.
Thank you.
Good use of the English language. But that is what comes up tonight, weather permitting. Now, here's the difficult situation is, I think around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, there is a window of dry weather. But I think the amount of rain that we have gotten over the last, what has it been raining, 5 hours maybe?
Oh, yeah. It's been a good while now.
I think just might be too much.
Mm.
So we'll let you know. We'll follow what's happening with the Tin Caps and keep you up to date on any decisions that might be made coming out of Parkview Field. Speaking of decisions, of course, everybody telling us yesterday, when word came down that Luke Goody was transferring out of Illinois, everybody wanted to tell us that Luke Goody is transferring just to go to Indiana. And, you know, here's the thing about it is there's all of the rules about tampering, about, you know, teams contacting a guy like Luke Goody. And I don't think there necessarily was improper contact here, but there's plenty of channels that if Indiana had interest in Luke Goody, they could get word to him that they are interested in Luke Goody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of the people that went to Indiana, they're former football players, his dad, his uncles, his brother goes to Indiana. Trent Green. I mean, come on. Here's a guy who's one of the all-time greats at IU. And it's not like they have a great list of Hall of Fame history. But Trent Green, his uncle, I'm like, it wouldn't be that difficult for Indiana to tell their people, who tells his people, who then tells, you know what I mean? I mean,
oh, yeah.
There's a chain there. And, you know, perhaps if you're Mike Woodson or if you're the Indiana staff, you take a look at Luke Goody and think, boy, he's got a lot of what we need right now. A guy that can come off the bench, can hit three-point shots, handles his role really well, and has a brother at our university. It's like maybe we've got enough connections here that we can convince him to come to Indiana. I wonder if he'd be interested. Well, nothing can happen officially until he's in the portal. And I think the fact that he finally committed to going to the portal is almost halfway committing to going to Indiana. And further proof to back it up, he's making an official visit to Indiana University this Thursday and Friday. coming in for 2 days. Got two days to visit his brother.
A little double day visit.
Paid for by the Indiana Hoosiers basketball squad. Pretty good deal.
Yeah, not bad.
But, so Luke Goody's going to be on an official. And we just heard Jim Coyle talk about Luke Goody reportedly was at the Little 500 over the weekend, this past weekend.
Okay.
So he's been spending a little time. Makes it even more convenient to try to get word out. And, you know, that's one of those where I'm sure, word spreads or, you know, if Luke Goody, I'd have to look at the roster and think, are there any connections that Luke Goody has with any of the Indiana players? Because maybe he, you know, connected with one of the Indiana players who mentioned something to a coach, word got out. I don't know. Again, this is all speculation just based on the timing of it seemed a little strange. You wait 3 weeks after, you know, you're done playing, almost a month after you're done playing, before hitting the portal, that if you really wanted to go somewhere else, I'm sure he knew he was going to be graduating a month ago. So it's not that he couldn't have been a grad transfer a month ago. I just think that there may have been a little birdie out there telling Luke Goody, IU has a spot. And so I think that's where he's going to end up. It would not surprise me that in the middle of that Thursday-Friday visit, whether that be Thursday night or sometime Friday, we get word Luke Goody is going to be an Indiana Hoosier.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. Wouldn't surprise me one bit to see him repping that Cream and Crimson.
And he's not a bad fit. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, that the roster construction of the Indiana Hoosiers was long on penetrating guards, guys that could drive to the basket, guys that could pull up for the mid-range. It was okay at the post now that they've got Balo and you've got Malik Renew. You got a couple of guys that can bang at the basket. Maybe what they need, one more big, but they also need shooters. And we talked about the fact that the roster has so many guards on it. Mm-hmm. Trey Galloway, he's a good attack guy, a good physical guy taking it to the basket. Gabe Cupps, got to improve the three-point shot. Gabe Cupps may be called on to be more of a shooting guard than a point guard. And that might not be a bad thing, but gives him a chance to really focus on and work on his catch-and-shoot game. You've got Anthony Leal, who's basically playing out his career at Indiana. This will be his final year coming up. But they needed somebody to fit into that roster that could just hit threes. And Luke Goody's been close to a 40% shooter in his career at Illinois. And, the thing I like about Goody is he is a team-first guy that will do what you need and accept the role that he's given. And whether that's guarding a three, I've seen him match up and have to guard fours. I've seen him, battle for key rebounds and box outs. And, you know, he did that for Homestead when he was playing with the Spartans. He might be the post. He might be the wing. He might be the point guard. He won't be at Indiana, the point guard, because they got plenty of them that can handle the ball and attack on the dribble. But he is going to be a catch-and-shoot type of guy. It'll be interesting to see how they use him. Generally, with a pro-style offense, what you'd expect is you're going to get a lot of pick-and-roll games, ball screens, with the guards that they have with Rice and Carlisle, that you're probably going to get a lot of the bigs coming out to set screens, play a two-man game, and then Luke Goody sits outside and waits for his man to be that third man. Or if his man's not the third man, that he somehow rotates or comes off a off-ball screen to be set up for a shot should they take away the pick and roll by adding a third defender. And that's basically the simple philosophy of most NBA offenses right now, is that two guys, man-to-man, can't stop a ball screen action from the top of the key. That two-man game is going to require you to send a third defender. A play that comes to mind that's a perfect example, and a lot of folks might have just seen it over the weekend, was when Denver ran that two-man game where Jokic comes out, sets the screen, gets the ball on the roll to the basket because the two Lakers defenders both kind of hedge and come off the screen. Jokic rolls, he's open, and they dropped the ball off. LeBron came up then, had to be that third defender in the ball screen defense. And what happened? Jokic gets it, lobs it up to the rim, and Gordon with an emphatic dunk. That's now in the college game, you might not have that type of personnel. So instead of a lob to the basket, it might be a kick out for a three. But that's the type of offense, a pro-style offense, that Mike Woodson wants to run. It's what he knows. And so I think Luke Goody could fit in pretty well at Indiana. Give us your thoughts, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
You certainly have thought about this. I mean, but now he just actually has to commit.
Yeah, now that we've put him into a place in the offense, I mean, there's nobody else that seems to be in the discussion. I mean, as soon as he announced he was transferring, we start getting text. I looked at social media. It's a buzz that Luke Goody, in fact, somebody already posted that he's committed to Indiana. and I mean, it's like that much a sure thing that that's the whole reason he's leaving Illinois, is to get his grad transfer and play at IU. And now part of it could be education based. You know, if you're graduating and you're getting that undergraduate degree, now you go into graduate school. And the question is, what do you want to become with your life? Mm. And maybe Indiana has the program. Like, is he looking to become a doctor? Indiana Medical School, obviously very good.
Absolutely.
Is he looking at law? IU Law School?
the law firm of Goody.
The law firm of Goody and Goody. They could go with the slogan, "Oh, Goody." Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Please, yeah, no.
That's, you reject that one. Please delete that one from the podcast. That was no good. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. All right, so last night, Adam, I would assume you were locked in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Knicks, I even sent you a text because I knew it would be Texter's jinx, because everything I try to, you know, every time I try to text something, it ends up backfiring. So I sent you a text, "Oh no," when the Knicks were down late, right?
You sure did. You did send me.
I did send you that text. I got no reply, which didn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was a little.
Because you were probably a little psycho at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But we're in the final minute, 4-point game. Jalen Brunson, who hadn't hit anything.
No, he's been really bad these first two games.
Yeah, was not rolling very well. He drops in a huge three-pointer to make it a 1-point game.
Yeah.
And then Philadelphia just absolutely, well, I can't say what I want to say.
They lost their cookies.
but they panicked.
They did. They went sideways on the inbound to, to Maxey.
And Maxey kind of reached to grab it with one hand, and it tipped off his hand, and then a mad scrum for the ball. The Knicks were more aggressive getting the basketball, and it led to DiVincenzo. I'll let you say it.
Dante DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo.
For three.
I don't know why I have trouble with that name, but I mean, I can look at it. I can say it when I say it in my head. But as soon as I try to get it to come out my mouth, it's completely different. But DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish he had a name like Giannis or Greek Freak, something we could call him. But he ends up missing one, but making the second.
Yeah, credit to Isaiah Hartenstein for a huge offensive rebound, and then to OG Anunoby for the kickback. Back out to Dante DiVincenzo.
Let's just move on. I can't do it, Adam. I can't do it.
Hits the big three.
He hits the big three. And Hartenstein, by the way, he is not Hartenstein. He is the older brother of Watt, J.J. Watt, and or maybe younger brother. Have you noticed he looks exactly like J.J. and T.J. Watt?
He does have a similarity. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's eerily similar. I think we need to contact Maury Povich on this one. But he gets that big rebound. And again, it was the Knicks wanting it more, fighting for it, getting there quicker to the basketball. They fought for it, and they got rewarded. They get the big three-pointer from that guy,
Dante DiVincenzo.
And it also brings us to a point. Is anybody better right now in play-by-play than Mike Breen?
Oh, no.
Outstanding call. Gave us a double bang on the did you see this online?
Yeah.
Bang, bang. And I mean, Breen makes the game exciting. And it you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of Doc Emmerich calling hockey, where you just knew it was a big game. And even if it wasn't a big game, you thought it was when Doc Emmerich had the call. Just the way he brought some energy. He didn't make it about himself, but yet he brought a certain compliment to what you want when you're watching a game. And Mike Breen, I think, is just perfect with that. His tone, his elevation, his energy, it just seems to match. It seems to fit. And I thought, again, it was a local broadcast for Mike Breen. He didn't have the national broadcast last night. But for those that aren't aware, he does the national broadcast for ESPN and ABC. But then he also does the local Knicks television broadcast, kind of like what we see with Chris Denary, and he was calling the game for the Knicks and called the big three-pointer by a guy whose name he can announce and I can't.
That was only the sixth double bang of Mike Breen's commentary career.
Yeah, only six. Do you remember the other five?
I remember a couple of them. I know one was the Steph Curry really deep
35-36-foot
winner against the Thunder. Another one was actually another Knicks player. It was Julius Randle with the crazy turnaround step back three against the Miami Heat. That's all I got.
Okay. I actually watched the video that had all six.
Oh, there was a video? Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a video that actually goes through the clips of all six.
Awesome.
And I watched it, but I can't remember. I remember the two you mentioned, and it's like if you mentioned another one, I'd remember seeing it, but I can't remember them without you mentioning them.
Fair enough.
4-6-8-6-2, 4-6-8-6-2, but the Knicks get the huge win over the Philadelphia 76ers. That wasn't the only drama in the NBA last night. Los Angeles Lakers at bedtime had this game put away. What happened after I dozed off? They're up by 20, Adam. Night-night time, right? I mean, it was almost midnight or maybe even a little after out here in the East Coast. Lakers are up 20, just kicking Denver's you-know-what. And what do we end up with? A Denver win on a Murray three-pointer. Or actually two-pointer.
Two-pointer.
He stepped in and hit a mid-range for about 15 feet at the buzzer to win it for the Denver Nuggets and knock off the Lakers, who blew a 20-point second-half lead.
Yeah, that's soul-crushing if you're the Lakers. I mean, I don't even know how you come back from that one.
No, went to bed last night, was pretty convinced when the Lakers, and I think it was, what was it, 14 or 15 at halftime?
Oh, yeah.
And then they were opening up the lead, and they got it up to 20 three or four minutes into the second half, and I thought, okay, safe to go to bed now. Don't have to stay up any later. It's already after midnight. And then I wake up in the morning, and I turn on TV, and I'm not fully paying attention to it, but I hear him talking about the Murray game-winning bucket, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did I just hear? I heard Denver hit a game-winning bucket, so I watched the TV and saw.
You had that in-real-life record scratch moment.
What? So a lot of drama last night, but the streaks continued. As even though both home teams were threatened last night, we still don't have a road team that has won a playoff game yet.
That's crazy.
Official playoff game. And what have we gone through? 10, 11?
11.
11 of them.
Man.
Of course, the Cavaliers and Orlando is like the forgotten series. Nobody's even paying attention.
They're like the forgotten stepchild that gets...
Orlando just looks like they are not even of the party.
They're not ready. They never were ready.
No, they, they started the season, halfway through the season, what were they, about the fourth seed?
Yeah.
And then
you
saw them just start sliding, and they basically just snuck in the playoffs, and... That team doesn't look good.
No, they don't look good, and they don't look like they have any experience compared to the Cavs, who had that crazy first-round series against the Knicks last season, so they come in ready to go.
And Donovan Mitchell, biggest star on the floor,
and
got plenty of talented role players around him.
Absolutely.
4-6-8-6-2, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What's happening in the world of sports? Let's find out. Here it comes, today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, thanks, Brett.
I'll try to get my mic here. The NBA and Denver police are looking into an incident in which a man reported to be one of the brothers of Nugget star Nikola Jokic was seen punching a fan after Denver's buzzer-beating 101-99 victory over the Lakers last night. In videos shared by TMZ and other outlets, the man is seen climbing over seats to confront another person at the arena, who he then punches in the face. An NBA spokesman said today that the league is looking into the matter. The NFL's investigation into alleged tampering by the Falcons and Eagles remains ongoing and will not be concluded this week, the league said today. So if either team is found to have violated tampering rules and loses draft picks, those selections will not come from this week's draft, but next year. The Falcons are being investigated for allegedly being in contact with Kirk Cousins before they were legally allowed to, and the Eagles are being investigated for allegedly tampering regarding their signing of Saquon Barkley. And news about Caitlin Clark's deal with Nike. It's reported that she's signing a $28 million contract that spans 8 years and includes a signature shoe. The new deal would be the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player in history. And those are your top stories today, Brett.
$28 million.
Yes,
for Caitlin
sir.
Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those that thought she was giving up money to leave college, get into the WNBA, there's your 28 million reasons why Caitlin Clark did the right thing. 46862, if you've got questions, comments, suggestions. By the way, coming up on the show today, we're going to tell you about something special we are doing on Thursday for the show. We're hitting the road. We were begging and pleading once they put us in this small studio, please let us go do a remote show somewhere. And so we will be out and about at a special event in town. We're going to tell you about that. Also, coming up this hour, more talk about the Pacers. Important game two tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. You're listening to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. It's 46862. If you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions, we always want to hear your thoughts at 46862. Plenty of things to weigh in on today, including the NFL draft. What do you expect the Colts to do? Trade up, trade down, stay at 15, and who's the player you think that ultimately Chris Ballard submits the card for when the Colts are on the clock? And it might be a second round pick, might be a late first round, might be the fourth pick of the draft. We don't know what the Colts are going to do or where they're going to do it, but is there a projection that you've got on what the Colts are going to do? In fact, I'd even go this far to say, what position should the Colts take? It's not even about a name or a player, because a lot of that is dictated by what the people do in front of you. But first pick, what position should the Colts take? Wide receiver, tight end, corner, or safety, like a defensive back, edge rusher or linebacker, or offensive lineman?
Ooh, I'm going to go wide receiver. Would love to hear our listeners' thoughts on the text line. If you want to answer that question, just text 46862. We'll be sure to get to that. But I think, like you've mentioned a couple times here on the show, Brett, I just really want to see Anthony Richardson have one of those deep field threat records that can, you know, speedy, can get down the field. Doesn't necessarily have to be a huge guy like Michael Pittman Jr., because I think it's good to have those contrasting roles at your receivers.
Right. Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison were
exactly
two completely different players.
Exactly. So something like that.
And, you know, and here's the thing. You made the decision last year to take the quarterback, the young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility to get him weapons and good weapons. Somebody he can get comfortable with and spend a long time with. And that means everything else is secondary. Even your glaring need for a corner. It is secondary right now to getting the best possible weapons for Anthony Richardson. Complete the skill positions. And that's why I know there's mock drafts showing the Colts taking a corner. There's another mock draft that has him taking an edge rusher. I'm like, forget about it. Chris Ballard, you got one job to do. And you made that job a priority a year ago by taking a quarterback, and that is get the weapons he needs. You've already taken care of two steps. You took care of Jonathan Taylor and got him the extension. He eventually came back and played with the Colts, and now he's locked in. Number two, you then took care of Michael Pittman Jr., and so you've got him. But you need a tight end. You need a wide receiver. I don't know that you've got that playmaking tight end. And, and it's not fair to compare people to Travis Kelce or George Kittle. Those are the best of the best. But I'm just saying a really good, dependable tight end. Right now the Colts rotate two or three guys. Mm. They don't really have that lock-in one guy that they count on that's a dual, you know, blocking and catching. I mean, Jack Doyle wasn't the most talented, but he was a dependable guy that you could count on in some third down situations, and he was a good run blocker. You know, he was an important player. And much like Chris Ballard's career, good players or dependable players, they move on, and the Colts aren't prepared to replace them. Tony Costanzo at left tackle. Mm-hmm. Jack Doyle, good example.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and say that Andrew Luck is probably where that all started. Going back to Andrew Luck deciding to walk away, and the Colts had no backup plan, and 6 years later, they still don't. Don't have a clue what they're doing. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. But that, to me, there's nothing more important than putting weapons around your young quarterback. Houston is doing everything they can to bring in top weapons. They did it a little different way. They went out, got some veterans. Mm-hmm. The Colts can build with youth and develop them, but I think there's talented guys. You're in a good enough position in the draft to go get somebody. And since you just signed everybody from last year's roster and you have 22 starters that are essentially returning to this team, you're saying we don't need a whole lot. We're only a piece or two away. Well, if that's true, then why do you take 7 draft picks? Make it 4 draft picks and get 4 really good impact players. Use your draft picks as leverage to go and get the player you want and go and get the player you need. And the player you need is a wide receiver, and you got to get one of these top 3 guys. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Ballard, he loves this thought process of I'd rather take a lot of swings and maybe hit on some of them as opposed to going out and taking a sure swing on somebody I know I want, but I have to lose potential picks in the process.
Yeah, I hate that. It's the idea that, if you don't win with your lottery ticket, that you go buy another, you buy 2 tickets next week.
Right.
And if you don't win on those 2, you buy 3. I mean, there's just no guarantees. And that's why we keep seeing all these guys taken in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounds, and they just haven't worked out. You got a couple of hits out of the 2nd round, but you've also got a couple of failures, especially when you tried to find your edge rusher. And we talk about Toure, we talk about Banigou. I mean, those are guys taken 2nd round that completely failed as edge rushers. And so don't come at me in the 1st round and go get your edge rusher. I know there's going to be a good edge rusher out there, but your failure of the past can't be the predictor of your future. In other words, don't rely on all the mistakes you've made at corner, at edge rusher, and then try to make up for it in this draft. Forget about those mistakes. Forget about those holes. You've got players that will play the position. Just hope they get coached up enough to not hurt you. But you have got to get the wide receiver. And if it's not the wide receiver, I'm okay with 1 tight end. I don't want just a tight end. I want 1 tight end or one of the top 3 receivers. Of course, Brock Bowers would be the guy I'm fine with a 1st-round pick. I think he is, I don't want to say a generational talent, but I think he's the closest in mold to a Kelce or a Kittle that we've probably seen at tight end in some time.
Absolutely.
But I really would like to see that wide receiver. We're going to get Kevin Bowen's take back. Kevin Bowen's put together a mock draft of his own, and we'll get some ideas on what he expects the Colts to do. Let's keep this message out there that it's not about a mock draft means this is what you're projecting the Colts to do. It does not mean this is how you would pick it.
Right. It's not your ideal Colts 2024 draft. It's the Colts mock draft.
What you think right. the Colts are going to do when they get on the clock at 15. And so, you know, maybe KB agrees with his mock draft. Maybe he doesn't. But we're going to get his thoughts on it because we're going to talk to him coming up at about 5:20. Once again, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, 46862. I'm looking forward to this draft. I think there's a lot to look forward to. The big question, will we have fireworks or duds by the time it comes up on Thursday night? We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't forget, Cruzy Automotive Service is the place to go for your next oil change. Maybe you should check that little sticker right now and just, you know, look at that number. Look at your odometer reading. See which one is a bigger number. If your odometer reading is a bigger number than your sticker, and probably has been for a while, it's time to get your appointment and get to Cruzy Automotive Service. You're going to save money. You're going to meet a great staff. You'll get quality work, and you're going to save a ton of money because right now an oil change is just $19.90 when you tell them the Sports Rush sent you. Of course, you get $17 off a synthetic oil change. For any kind of service or maintenance on your vehicle, trust who I trust. Cruzy Automotive Service on Lima Road, north of Wall and south of Till, right behind the Shell gas station. Call 489-1089. 489-1089 for Cruzy Automotive Service. Welcome back to a rainy Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Adam Lundy, you're connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. All right, so I mentioned this earlier. We'll go ahead and mention it now that coming up on Thursday, we've got a special event out at the Electric Works out on Broadway. We'll be out there broadcasting. And we'll be actually outside at the Indy 500 Fest, which they'll have, is it the pace car that's going to be there along with a race car and more? Should be a fun event for fans, and you can come on out, check out all the fun, and be part of our broadcast because we'll be doing the show there this Thursday from 4 to 6 right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. All right, so coming up tonight, coverage of the Pacers against the Milwaukee Bucks. You might get it in its entirety. You might get it after the Tin Caps game. And if the Tin Caps don't get started until really late, you might not get Pacers basketball at all here on the radio. But it is game two tonight, and it's got to look a lot different than game one. And this is, again, I said it before the series. I'll say it again. This series is about Tyrese Halliburton. He's taken on the role as being the face of the franchise. You have to have your best player step up.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyrese Halliburton to the Pacers is Jokic to the Nuggets, LeBron and AD to the Lakers. It's your stars have to have big games. They cannot let you down. Joel Embiid to the Sixers. I mean, you can go on and on. The best players have to be the best at the biggest times, and this is the biggest time. It's playoffs. And you can't melt. You can't, defenses can't take you completely out of your game. You've got to figure out ways to still be able to score, even if defense is key on you. Jalen Brunson's working his tail off.
Oh,
unfortunately, it's been very difficult for him. But what happened is Brunson hits one of the biggest shots of the game.
Yeah.
And at least I can say Brunson, but the other guy hit the game winner.
DiVincenzo. But like I was telling you during the break, Philly's been doing a great job defensively on Brunson with longer defenders and forcing him into drive into a packed paint. But he's counteracted that by taking a lot of shots. I mean, 27, 28 shots per game. But it does get him those 20, 24 points that do help the team still. But
and what did Halliburton do? Shot seven times.
Seven times, and we even had Scott say he counted it as six because one of them was kind of a desperation heave.
Yeah, and he said he really had six shots in the offense. Six shots over almost 40 minutes of basketball. He's supposed to be your guy. I'm not going to give him a set number, but I would say 12 to 15 shots should be expected from Halliburton. And if you fall short of that, it's, again, going to be difficult because that plays into Milwaukee's game plan. Why did the Pacers score a season-low 94 points? Well, they didn't get the production from some of the guys that they count on, including Tyrese Halliburton. Yes, he had the assist. He had rebounds. Rebounds don't necessarily get you points, but the assists, I mean, we've seen him have 15, 16, 17 assists.
Yeah.
He didn't have double-figure assists in that game. I think, what did he have, 8 assists, 9 assists? But he just was not a factor. And he's got to be a factor. And this is Milwaukee. This is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Tyrese Haliburton is from the state of Wisconsin. He has to take it upon himself. I'm going to go out and I'm not going to let my team lose. You kind of got that feeling from Dame Lillard in game one that Dame said, look, we don't have Giannis, but I'm not going to let that cost us game one. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get this game for my team. And he did.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we've got to get from Tyrese Haliburton. It's, you know, you're the face of the franchise. You got to step up and accept that role. And that role is not 6 or 7 shots in a playoff game. Can't happen.
Can't happen. He acknowledged that that can't happen. Carlisle acknowledged that they need to step it up. We'll see if they can come in tonight with a better game plan to get Tyrese going.
And Miles Turner.
Yeah, him too.
Do something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Miles Turner knows what this means to the city, mm-hmm. to be in the playoffs. Don't embarrass the city. And Miles Turner's been around enough. He's one of the veteran voices in that locker room. And you can't have Pascal Siakam come in mid-season and he's the one that's carrying you.
No, you can't.
No, you've got to have Miles Turner. You got to Tyrese Haliburton. Nembhard, I think he's in a tough position because I think he's in a little bit over his head because they don't have Buddy Hield. They don't have Ben Matherin. One is out with injury. One is out because they got rid of him. I you know, in hindsight, do you feel like the Buddy Hield move was a mistake?
I feel like it hasn't worked out for Philadelphia.
It hasn't worked out, I don't think, for any of the parties involved.
No.
I don't think it's worked out for Buddy Hield. It hasn't worked out for Philadelphia. And I kind of feel like Tyrese Haliburton hasn't been the same player since. And remember, Buddy Hield and Tyrese Haliburton were like buddies. And they were very close.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you just need that. You know, the service dogs that, you know, the psychological service dogs and stuff. That's what Buddy Hield was for Tyrese Haliburton, right?
Yeah.
A mentor, a guy who's a veteran, knows the ropes, and just is there to provide some security, some reinforcement, say the right things to Tyrese Haliburton. Sometimes you don't always get the feedback you need from the coach, and sometimes when you get the feedback, you're not happy about it, and you need a place to vent or, you know, to discuss it, and maybe somebody to give you a little bounce back and say, hey, look, you know, I get it, but you're going to be fine.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have that.
And not just off the court. I think that on the court, I think Buddy's shooting and three-point scoring kind of provided a little bit of not a cushion, but just a little bit less pressure on Tyrese to score as much. And it was another target for him to pass out to as well.
But yeah, with the roster they've got right now, they have to count on guys like Ben Shepherd and Doug McDermott.
Mm.
That's not a great combination. That hurts you a little bit defensively. I'll tell you what, Shepherd looked like he was running around absolutely petrified.
Yeah.
Just did not want to be on the court. And then, of course, they threw the pass to him, and he steps out of bounds.
Young guy stuff.
Yeah, young guy mistakes, in over their head, first playoff game. And maybe it settles down.
Maybe.
You know, this is where you're going to find out. Is he just not ready for the moment, or was it just first game jitters? Because you can probably expect even a veteran player playing their first playoff game with the amped up excitement in the stands, the extra intensity that's involved in the game, that maybe you're not quite prepared for it, even if you're a veteran that's been around playing a lot of games but haven't been a playoff contender. The Shepherd and McDermott combo was not good for the Pacers, and that was generally the deepest part of their bench. So it'll be interesting to see, does Rick Carlisle trust to go back to them tonight, or will we have a bench that only goes about 8 deep? Because I'm not sure that you can count on those guys for much of anything.
No, I'm not sure either. Taking a look at the text line, 46862, we've got Mr. Vegas weighing in. He says, Brett, I like all 3 dogs tonight in the NBA.
Interesting. So that would include the Pacers. But, you know, the Pacers are not as big a dog as you might think.
No, they're not.
I think Vegas is kind of writing off game one as first game jitters. You know, perhaps just a Dame Lillard explosion that they don't expect to happen again. Because it's, I saw it earlier today, it was like 1.5 points.
It is still, yeah, Milwaukee 1.5.
And, yeah, and so it's not like Milwaukee's a 6-7 point favorite, even after winning game one by 15 points. Elsewhere tonight in the NBA, you've got the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves that will hook up.
Yeah.
That's the first game on TNT. Remember, the Pacers-Bucks television side is on NBA TV. And so you might want to have your radio. And if you don't have, here's the other thing I want you to remember. If you don't have a radio in your house, a lot of people now don't have a radio inside. You could stream it on your PC. You can get it through the Alexa device. You can always catch the radio station multiple ways digitally where you don't have to necessarily be tuned into the radio. But the Pacers play the Bucks at 8:30. Suns Timberwolves opens it up at 7:30. And then the late game is the Mavericks Clippers. I got to think that I'm kind of hanging with Mr. Vegas. The Suns concern me because that game almost looked like a mismatch, that there was just something missing. Like the Suns were playing a man short,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they weren't, but it sure looked that way, the way Minnesota took it to them in game one.
Yeah.
But I said before the series started that I like the Suns in that series. I like the Mavericks in the series against the Clippers. And I took the Pacers to beat the Bucks. So I guess if I'm going to get there at the end of the road, I better hope that the three dogs can pull out wins tonight. Somebody's got to win a road game.
Who's it gonna be?
I mean, it's got to happen at some point, right?
Right, but will it be tonight?
Also, home team's kind of dominating in the NHL as well.
Did we have a away team win there yet or no?
Well, last night we had the Maple Leafs beat the Bruins in Boston.
All right.
That got the night started. The Golden Knights did beat the Dallas Stars in Dallas, and the Carolina Hurricanes came from behind. In fact, I think they were down 3-0 to the Islanders, and then the Hurricanes won 5-3. And the Edmonton Oilers with Ryan Fanti as the emergency backup goaltender.
How about that?
The E-Bug. I thought they were calling him some kind of offensive name, the E-Bug. They said, Fanti's an E-Bug tonight. And I'm like, what's an E-Bug, an electronic bug?
Something like that, yeah, a virus.
Yeah, emergency backup goaltender.
Yeah.
And I learned a hockey phrase last night. But he was the backup last night. Oilers beat the Kings 7-4.
Nice.
So the Oilers are up to a 1-0 lead. The Golden Knights win on the road. So here comes Vegas once again. Vegas could very well be last year's Florida. Remember, Florida just barely snuck into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so their playoffs almost began before the playoffs really began because they had to play well at the end of the regular season. Vegas kind of got into that position. The defending champions, they weren't even sure they were going to make it into the playoffs. They snuck in, and now they've already got a 1-0 lead. And Mark Stone, who was their playoff MVP last year, he's back.
He
was out. So, yeah, tonight, the big one, of course, on the NHL schedule, Lightning Panthers.
Oh, I know you'll be tuned in.
Well, I don't know because I'm, I've got TinCast baseball to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not on the broadcast tonight.
Okay.
No, I was bumped, but I'll be back tomorrow. But it's Lightning Panthers at 7:30.
Okay.
And then the Pacers, of course, start at 8:30.
A lot of good viewing tonight.
And
listening.
It will be for me, and I'm sure there's probably some people listening to our show that are thinking, Lightning Panthers, I can pass.
Yeah, you know.
But that's the Battle of Florida.
Florida.
So if you follow it, one of those teams, because I still think Shevlin follows the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right, might have to check in on that.
Well, I'm going to wait because by the time Shevlin has his show on Saturday, I will know whether I want to even bring it up.
There you go.
Because if the Panthers are rolling in this series, I might just have to send a note on the text line on Saturday during Talking Sports just to ask for Jim's comments about the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I like it.
46862 is where you can text us on the Parkview Sports Madison text line. Coming up in our next hour, Kevin Bowen is going to be joining us coming up at about 5:20. A lot to talk about with KB and his mock draft. He put together all of, and what he did was he didn't give us all the team's picks. He gave us just who he thinks the Colts will draft. A lot of names on there, by the way, that I think the Colts probably have very high on their wish list. Guys that I think, like Tanner Bordellini, the offensive lineman center out of Wisconsin. He's a guy that can play center, can play guard, very versatile guy, which would give you great a great backup, somebody that could play any of the three middle line positions. I could see him being a pretty valuable player, and he fits the Colts mold. Just that type of guy. And out of Wisconsin, you always are getting quality offensive linemen.
Oh, so, yeah.
So I would look for Bordellini. I like that name. But kind of goes somewhere I wouldn't go with the first round pick. And we'll talk to Kevin Bowen about that coming up at 5:20. It's a Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush. We'll check in, too, at 5 o'clock with the Tin Caps to see what the story is at Parkview Field. 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.